So we left off in the previous year, trying to understand the almost cryptic line in the Braisa and Masechta Sukkah, where the Gemara draws a distinction between the standards of Mechitzas for Shabbos and the standards of Mechitzas for Sukkah. When it comes to Shabbos, there's an absolute rule called Omed Ruvel Aparetz. You have to have more of the wall standing than breaches, and without that, then you're finished. And according to the most of the Rishonim, that was a real din in the Torah, that was part of Halach Moshsini of Mechitzas. We saw the dissenting view of the Raiva that claims maybe that's only Midrabanan, but the Pashas in the Gemara of the Rishonim is that it's a din in the Torah. Nevertheless, the Gemara said that halacha only applies to Shabbos. When it comes to Sukkah, somehow we're okay. So when it comes to Sukkah, it's even Paretz Ruvel Omed is also good. So the Rishonim had a lot of trouble with that line, because everything we've been assuming until now is that the rules of Shabbos and Sukkah are pretty much the same. They're the same in terms of height of mechitzas, they're the same in terms of breaches of mechitzas, they're the same in terms of sturdiness of mechitzas. And yet all of a sudden, in this area, we find this distinction. So many Rishonim, because of this problem, almost, in a sense, bent over backwards to give a little bit of a different shot in the Gemara. When the Gemara says that a Sukkah can get away with Paretz Ruvel Omed, so Rashi says it doesn't really mean you can get away with each wall being Paretz Ruvel Omed. It means if you add up the whole perimeter of the entire Sukkah, you can end up with the Paretz Ruvel Omed, because the din is Shlish Tefil Tefach, because of that quirk of that Kula, that the third wall doesn't need a real wall, and the quirk, the fourth wall doesn't need anything. So it could be that you'll end up with the totality of Paretz Ruvel Omed. But within each wall itself, to define a mechitza proper, says Rashi, it's inconceivable that the definition of a mechitza should be any different in Sukkah than it is in Shabbos. And therefore, if it's Paretz Ruvel Omed in that wall proper, forget about it. That's for sure not going to work. And then we had the Rambam also seem to bend over backwards to give a different shot in the Gemara, because of the problem, that the way the Gemara sounds, it doesn't seem to make any sense. How can it be? How you talking that those standards are different? So the Rambam described the walls being Paretz Ruvel Omed, so the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah were quick to point out. The Rambam was only talking about the third wall, not the first two walls. The third wall we can negotiate. The third wall, we already know there are certain leniencies in the third wall. Kach nemar loch Moshe Mesinai, shlish tefil tefach. Okay, once you're in the third wall, then we could talk. Problem was, once you're in the third wall and you're ready to talk, what do you need? Paretz Ruvel Omed. It's good with the tefach alone, so we had a lot of trouble with that. Everyone's trying to emphasize this Rambam. But if you go back to the Rambam itself, it's, and again, hard for me to be machri against the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, but I'll tell you in a moment who I'm quoting is machri against them. If you take a look at the Rambam in the sixth of the Mamakomos, it just doesn't sound that way from the Rambam. Because the Rambam writes, Sukkah sheyesh to psochem rabim, v'yesh b'ksaleh chalonas harbe rezu ksheira. Ksaleh is loshen rabim. Ksaleh refers to multiple walls. Ksaleh doesn't refer to one wall. And the Rambam meant, like the Magid Mishnah against the Mishnah was saying, the Rambam should have said, Sukkah sheyesh to psochem rabim, v'yesh b'koso shlishi shalah chalonas harbe rezu ksheira. The Rambam says, Biksoleh is so misleading. Biksoleh means in its walls, i.e. in its multiple walls, namely, all three of its walls. So to tell me, Abshat, that the Rambam meant that in the third wall will let you get away with Paretz Ruvel Omed, it's very, very difficult textually in the Shittas of Rambam. And it's also very, very difficult conceptually, as we pointed out on Wednesday Shir, that the Ma'aseh only needed Tefach at the third wall. So Ella, like the Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah said, it means you decided to build a longer wall. So now we're saying, if you chose to make a bigger wall, we'll let you get away with the Paretz Ruvel Omed. I chose. But if the halacha didn't require it in the first place, so Hadru Kush L'Duchta, the question stands, what's the chiddush of Paretz Ruvel Omed in the third wall? So because of all these problems, both the textual problems and the conceptual problems, so there is an alternate pshat in the Rambam. This alternate pshat is often actually, believe it or not, by the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. We usually think Orach Chaim HaKadosh as the Kadosh. We always think of him as the Perush of Chumash, with Kabbalah, with Saitas, everything. So that's all true. But believe it or not, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh also wrote a Sefer on Masech HaSukha. And in Masech HaSukha, in his Perush in Masech HaSukha, so he quotes this Rambam, and he quotes the Magid Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah's Pshat, and he highlights all of our questions, and he says, it's Nira Lo Loimar, that the Rambam meant exactly what he said. The Rambam said that Yesh B'Ksaleh P'sochem Harbe means B'Loshen Rabim. And the Rambam really meant to say what nobody else was willing to say. Everybody else was barred with the Kasha. How could the standards of Shabbos and Sukkah be different? So the Rechaim HaKadosh throws his hands up and says, we wouldn't have said it Me'atzmeinu. But don't blame the Rambam, blame the Gemara, the Braisa. The Braisa says, just read the Braisa, Kipshuto, that Yaseira Shabbos al Sukkah, Sheshabbos en Niteres al Omen Rula Parth, Pashanki Besukkah. So what's the source for that distinction? You know, it's one thing, up until now we've been saying, it can't be, the distinction can't be, it can't be true, it can't be true, and therefore it's got to mean something else. So the Rechaim HaKodesh says, it doesn't mean anything else, it's exactly what it sounds like, that the standards of Omen Rula Parth are different. Where did that come from? How did Chazal figure that out? It's not so far-fetched to hide behind Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. We know that all of Hilchos Mechitzas are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Every single thing in Hilchos Mechitzas doesn't say anything in the Chumash about Mechitzas. So the Dinim of Tefachim are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and the Shirim of Lover are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and the Dinim of Amrura Paratz are Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. So it must have been that this was part of the tradition, part of Amasura was, that vis-a-vis this prat of Hilchos Mechitzas, the standards for Sukkah are different than Shabbos. Shabbos is more chomer than Sukkah. If this is in fact the Shittas of Rambam, again, it seems to be borne out by the simple reading of the Rambam, so then we find something which really touches on an issue we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Namely, we've seen here and there over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of sugyas, that there are certain nuances of differences between Sukkah and Shabbos, but we've seen them all the opposite direction. We have bumped into a couple of details in Hilchos Sukkah that the standards are even more chomer in Sukkah than they are in terms of Shabbos. There are two that come to mind. One was the lack of ability of a Tzuras HaPesach to really create a Sukkah. We said that according to many Rishonim, it's going to the Ran Shita, back from the last Sugya, if you would take four Tzuras HaPesach, take four poles, string wires across the top of them, and make yourself, in a sense, a makeshift Sukkah without any walls whatsoever, so the Ran claimed that Sukkah would be not acceptable mid-Araisa. Not everyone agreed to that. Some said maybe only the Rabbanan, but the Ran says, per Moly, that it's no good mid-Torah. And the Ran's proof was from the last sugya that the only time we ever find any mention of a Tzuras HaPesach in a Sukkah is after you have Shtayim Kilchuson and you have Shlish Tefilo Tefach, then Midrabanan, you got to touch up that third wall a little. That doesn't look right just to rely on that very, very Shvacha Tefach. You better touch it up a little bit with the Tzuras HaPesach. So the Ran says that's the only precedent we have in a Sukkah for invoking Tzuras HaPesach. How come we don't find any mention of building a Sukkah Mamish with the Tzuras HaPesach? So the Ran says, because it doesn't work. Aye, but it does work for Shabbos. According to most opinions, you can take four Tzuras HaPesach, make four quote-unquote halachic walls in the middle of nowhere, and it's perfectly permissible to carry there. Maybe not in Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, Asi Rabbim Ha'al Mechitzas. Again, we spoke a lot about that in the past, that when you have a multiple of traffic that walks through a Mechitzah, and that may invalidate a Mechitzah, that's really tangential. But if you're not in the middle of the street, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're on the top of a mountain somewhere, and you want to put up four Tzuras HaPesach, so it could be that works for Hilchos Shabbos. So how come it doesn't work for Sukkah? So the Ran said, because Sukkah is more chomer than Shabbos. What is it about Sukkah that's more chomer than Shabbos? So the Ran said, because when it comes to Shabbos, all you have to have is halachic mechitzas. When it comes to Sukkah, you have to have a makom dira as well. And that's a din min haTorah. Teishvukei taduro, this is a throwback to something we've spoken about many times already this year. According to the Ran, teishvukei taduro is not just a din in the gavra, it's a din in the chevtza also. That the chevtza of the Sukkah has to be ru'i lekach, to be a makom dira. So if you have an area that's, in theory, surrounded by walls, but it's not ru'i ledira, that's a problem. That's going to be a psula on the love of D'Oraisa. So we already have a beginning of a precedent to change some of the rules of mechitzas between Shabbos and Sukkah. And then we have another precedent, which Rishon himself made reference to. The Gemara says that if you have a pillar in the middle of the street, and it's more than 10 tefachim tall and more than 4 tefachim wide, so the top of it becomes a Rishus HaYochid, and we say that the walls go all the way up L'Shamayim. So the Gemara raises the question, can I use that as a Sukkah? I'll put a pillar in the middle of nowhere, and I'll sit on top of the pillar, because after all, I have mechitzas. The mechitzas are on the side, good asking mechitzas, the mechitzas fly up to Shemayim, and I'm surrounded by mechitzas. So the Gemara says, forget it, that doesn't work. Why not? So Rava used that cryptic response to Abaye, but even mechitzas nikaros v'leika. When it comes to Sukkah, you require mechitzas hanikaros. The mechitzas have to be recognizable. I'm sitting on the top of the pillar, and look at it, I don't see anything. If I bend down and I use my halachic imagination, all of a sudden then I discover the mechitzas. But if I'm just looking around, physically, I don't see any mechitzas. So what does that mean by ina mechitzas hanikaros v'leika? So the Ran again comes to the rescue. The Ran says, because you need a makom dira. And mechitza she'ena nikaros are mechitzas, but they're not a machamdira. Architects don't build with mechitza she'ena nikaros. So according to the Ran, every single time you build a sukkah, you have to ask yourself two things. You have to pass two tests. First of all, you have to have objectively halachically mechitzas, but that's not enough. That's enough for Shabbos, but not enough for Sukkah. Because for Sukkah, you require mechitzas hanikaros. So we have a theme already in Rishonim to differentiate between Sukkah and Shabbos. The only problem is, the theme is in the other direction. The only problem is that all those examples, I just gave all the examples, which highlight the fact that the standards for Sukkah are more chomer than the standards for Shabbos, because of that added dimension of mechitzas making Macham Dira. Now, what we're seeing in the Rambam, at least according to the Rechaim's Pshat in the Rambam, we're seeing the exact opposite. We're seeing that the standards are changing in the other direction, that the standards for Shabbos are more chomer than the standards for Sukkah. Now, you can't ask...
That's from the Brisa, right?
The Or Chaim's Rambam's reading of the Brisa, right? Now, you can't ask a kasha from Iran onto a Rambam, because if you remember back from the previous sugyas of Mechitah Sheni Karos and Tzurus HaPesach, the Rambam happened not to have learned the Gemara that way. When the Gemara says, Be'inin Mechitah Sheni Karos, it was the Ran who learned Pshat in the Gemara that the standards of Sukkah and Shabbos are different. The Rambam, as Reb Chaim already pointed out in a couple of sugyas back, the Rambam learned Pshat in that Gemara, but Ina Mechitas HaNikaros, that you don't say good asik on Mechitas HaNikaros. It's not that the Gemara was differentiating between Sukkah and Shabbos, the Gemara was limiting the principle of good asik and saying Mechitas don't fly up to Shemayim if they're not Nikaros in the first place. So according to the Rambam, that Gemara did not highlight any difference between Shabbos and Sukkah. And it could be that the Rambam doesn't buy into the Ran's Tzurus HaPesach story. It could be that the Rambam holds that Tzurus HaPesach maybe do work Ben HaTorah for Sukkah. Maybe they don't work for other reasons for Sukkah. So we can't ask, it's not a kash against the Rambam. Not saying, oh, you see from the Ran that the Rambam's wrong. You can't ask a kash like that. But what you do see is that you see two different lines of reasoning in Rishonim. Our starting point was Sukkah and Shabbos are identical to one another. That's how we would have started off our mindset of the Sugyas. And now we're getting different vibes from different Rishonim. We have one group of Rishonim led by the Ran who are saying no, they are different from one another, and Sukkah has something that Shabbos doesn't have, and that's the Chumrah of requiring Macham Dira, and that is the reason why Tzurus HaPesach fails us, and that's the reason why Gur Asik fails us. Then you have in the other, total other extreme, the Shittas Rambam, who says no, Sukkah and Shabbos are not identical. Shabbos is more problematic, is more chomer than Sukkah, and that's the reason why in Shabbos there's a lach mashem sinai omer rula parts. In Sukkah, you don't need such a lach mashem sinai. Do we have any mokar?
If you don't buy into the Ran, what would the Rambam say is the reason why you can't have Tzurus HaPesach for the first two walls?
So the Rat may be part of a whole other theory about the Rambam, which we're going to get to in terms of Tzurus HaPesach. The Rambam probably holds that Tzurus HaPesach is not a mechitza altogether. Tzurus HaPesach just is used to close up holes, but it doesn't create a mechitza. It's an anti-pirtza mechanism, but it's not necessarily a SES mechitza. But that's going to be part of the next part of the sugya. Do we have any inkling as to where Chazal figured this out from? This idea, according to the Rambam, that we're differentiating between the standards of Mechitza. According to the Rambam, we know exactly where it came from. It came from the magic words, Teishu, Keita, Duru. But according to now the Rambam's understanding that the rules of Mechitza are different, do you have any idea where this came from? Is this pure Lachmasin? It's one thing to observe that that's a difference. Another thing is to pin it on Lachmasin that Chazal never really told us. So is there some kind of a precedent for this idea within Chazal itself that Chazal figured this out already, that the rules are different? So the Chara, one could argue that you don't have to make up a new Halacha Marsina Yesh Meayin. This is part and parcel of the Halacha Marsina called Shtayim Kehochason Shlish Tafil Tefach. Namely, the Torah itself is telling us that we're watering down the standards in Ruch HaSukkah. The starting point for a Sukkah should have been three Mechitzos. Because it says the word sukkah three times. That's the drash at the beginning of Masechet Sukkah. We spoke about this. So we darshan the word sukkah three times. The starting point is you need three mechitzas for a sukkah. Now everybody agrees there's a halacha Moshe B'Sinai, afilu tefach, that third wall doesn't have to be a full mechitza. So what everybody else thought was that halacha Moshe B'Sinai is only licked in the third wall. That means the first two walls remain kilchasam. We're not touching. We're not tampering with the first two walls. They have to be real walls with all the parts, with all the nine yards. And then when you come to the third wall, we can play games a little bit. It could be that Halacha Moshe Sinai of tampering with the third wall is in effect telling us that you don't really need all the parts. Haraya, you don't need all the parts in the third wall. guess what? You don't need Omer Melaparetz in Hilchas Sukkah entirely. Now, there are still differences between the first two and the third. The first two still need seven tefachim. That we're not tampering with. So when the Halacha Moshe Sinai came and said that Shlish Tafil Tefach, there are almost two parts of that Halacha Moshe Sinai. Number one, it's telling you that the dimensions of the third wall are less. And number two, it's telling you, forget about Omer Melaparetz. Omer Melaparetz is not a cheshbon in terms of Hilchas Sukkah. So maybe, it's a guess. Maybe, that's where the Braisa got it from. But again, when all the dust settles, we have this cryptic Braisa. We have Rashi was pushing the Braisa in a certain direction because he didn't want to learn a Kipshuto. The Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah were pushing it in a different direction because they didn't want to learn Kipshuto. But the Urachayim HaKadosh said, but that's the Rambam, that we can and we should learn the Braisa Kipshuto, and then we have to pick up all the fallout afterwards, how this Braisa and this Zeramim is against the other Rishonim again. Not the end of the world. It's just highlighting the fact that there are different approaches in the Rishonim within the differences between Sukkah and Shabbos.
Can you possibly say, like, when the Rambam has the Ish Pekseleach Olamos Arbe, maybe the Rambam was telling us that it means that if there's a cutout in the wall, so if let's say you have a wall that's 10 by 10, so you would think that therefore the area of this thing is 100 feet, right? So if you start cutting out and you have even though it's not a Tzuras HaPesach,
right.
So that cutout is Paretz Mubalamot. So like, that's the Chesh, nothing to do with.
Right, but the problem is that, so why the Pesachim Rabbim?
Because the Lamaisa, it's difficult to get to a point where...
But it's crazy, if you're right, that Omer Melaparetz, the Rabbim doesn't really mean the real definition. He means the cutout part.
Right.
So then
you wouldn't have to say Pesachim Harbi.
Right, Pesachim Rabbim seems to be a little bit less.
Yeah,
right,
extra,
right.
But the point is that he's trying to say Lamaisa, you can't physically get to that point unless
right.
you cut it out the entire...
Right. The problem is that the term parts, Alpha Bisha parts, the term parts with Omer is a very, very specific connotation. I mean, in Hilchas Erevin, the Rambam uses that term, you know, in other places, that it means what it sounds like. So I hear you. It's a problem why the Rambam even needs the Chalon Zabri.
Right.
What the role?
So
we're not even sure what the role of the Chalon Zabri.
Defining this type of sukkah, that it has a lot of cutouts, it has a Pesachim Harbi. The point is, at the end of Pesachim Rabim,
yeah.
The idea being is that it doesn't have
maybe
more open space.
Maybe it's possible. I don't know. So the Rambam, let's continue back the next part of the Rambam. So the Rambam, whatever the Rambam meant with that Pesachim Harbi and Chalon Zabri, whatever he meant, he said something about Parvatsu Vilamid. But then the Rambam himself starts to put the brakes on it. Says the Rambam, don't walk away saying everything goes. So we go back to the sixth of the Mamre Kamos, at the end of the first line. Ubovad, says the Rambam. One thing I'm not negotiating, says the Rambam. Ubovad shlo yasham pesach yisrael eser. More than 10, forget about it. As we've already said many times, more than 10, that's the first mission in Ervin. That's a pirza. A pirza, forget it. So a pirza not only destroys a wall for Shabbos, a piritza destroys a sukkah as well. Once you've crossed the threshold of Teramas, then you're done. Aval, says the Rambam. Avalim hayisham Pesach Yisrael Eser. But if you have a Pesach more than 10, listen to this curveball the Rambam now throws at us. Af al pi sheyesh tzuras Pesach. Even though that piritza more than 10 has a tzuras Pesach on it, you're still in trouble. You have to be careful not to have parts move below Amid. So the Rambam just told us something that we never heard of before. The Rambam just told us that when you have a pirtz of 10 amos, you are finished. That wall is done. Now we always thought, of course that wall is done until it's rectified. And what is it rectified with? It's rectified with a Tzuras HaPesach. We learned that's the first mission Erevin says that. The first mission Erevin says, if you have a mavui, that has an opening, and the opening is more than 10 amos, you can't just put up a lechi or put up a kor or something. That's a problem. What do you have to do? So the very first mission of Aaron says, "Vim also lo tzuras haPesach, fine, ksheira. As long as you put up two poles and a string, that will solve the world's problems, even the appearance of 10 amos." And the Rambam just told us that it's not true. The Rambam is mamash contradicting the ABCs, the Bezim and Alpha Masech Zervin. The Rambam is saying that if you have a appearance of more than 10, even with the Tzuras HaPesach, it's not going to work. Now, the Rambam qualified his qualification by saying, if it's a Paras Mubala Omed. So the Rambam basically just told us that if you have three things together, you have a problem. If you have a wall that's a Paras Mubala Omed, and it happens to be there are appearances of more than 10 amos, even though you put up a Tzuras HaPesach thinking you're going to solve the problem, it's not going to work. A Tzuras HaPesach cannot solve a problem of a Paratz Ulul Omed combined with a Pirutz of Ten. That's Zosh Tein in the Rambam Menuchas Sukkah. And just in case you think I'm reading too much into that Rambam Menuchas Sukkah, the Rambam says the same thing in Hilchos Shabbos. If you take a look at the Rambam in the 10th of the Bar Mekamos, if you have only rule of parts, the Ram didn't say it. But if you have a period of 10 plus a parts of rule omed, then nothing's going to help that. So if you take a look at the Ram in the 10th of the Ram Kamos, the Ram says the same thing. The Ram says in Ucha Shabbos, Kol mechitza sheish parts of rule omed ain't a mechitza. That's the starting point. Aval, if my parts ka omed or is muteris. If there's more omed than parts, or if they're equal, we pass in the cool like that. If they're equal, that's also okay. So the Rambam sounds like he's great. So he says that you have to make sure not to have more than 10 amas. Up to 10 amas, you're okay. If the pirates has a tzuras pesach, even though it's more than 10, that's okay. But look at this. Provided that the parts is not Mubala Oymed, which is identical to what he just said in Hilchos Sukkah, that if you have a combination of a parts Mubala Oymed with pirtzes of 10 amos, guess what? All the Tzuras HaPesachs in the world are not going to help. So the Rambam just said it twice. He said it in Hilchos Shabbos, and he just said it again in Hilchos Sukkah. So we have a lot of problems about this Rambam, because it seems to be against the first Mishnah Erevin. The first Mishnah Erevin says you can build Tzuras HaPesachs no matter where you are, number one. Number two, we're not sure, not just textually why we don't understand the Rambam, we don't understand conceptually the Rambam. What's wrong with the Tzuras HaPesach? Tzuras HaPesach is the greatest thing in the world. You can solve the whole world's problems. At least in Shabbos, you can solve the world's problems. There are sugya shleimus that deal with Tzuras HaPesachs in Hilchos Shabbos. So how come the Rambam is putting the brakes on Hilchos Tzuras HaPesach? What's he talking about? What's the svar? What's the lumdus of the Rambam? So we don't understand how he's not against the opening words of Maseches Erevin, and we don't understand conceptually what it's based on. Lest we think that Rambam doesn't affect us, what does it have to do with us? Who's building Tzuras HaPesachs with more than 10 amos, with parts of the lowers? Who's building? Every single person in this room is building. The Erevin Tinoch is built on that. The Erevin Snowon is based on that. The Erevin any community today is based on the assumption that we're surrounding the area with Tzuras HaPesachs. Nobody has walls. We're surrounding the area with Tzuras HaPesachs. It's before you have a Tzuras HaPesachs, it's personal to the made. Personal government, it's personal Gabri. There's nothing there. If you're lucky, you got a half a fence here and there once in a while. But fundamentally, you're surrounding the area with telephone wires and telephone poles. So you have a personal government. The brakes are way more than 10 amas. The brakes are miles. So you have nothing. You have parts of Omed with pierces of 10 amas, and you're trying to rectify that with the Tzuras HaPesach. You're going down the wrong road, according to the Rambam. There's nothing you could do to build an Erevin that way. You have violated the Rambam's ABCs of Erevin. You can't build an Erevin with Tzuras HaPesach if and when you have parts of Omed combined with 10 amas. So the answer to that question is, in Ochinami, that according to the Rambam, all of our Erevin are not acceptable for that very reason. So you may have heard this phrase out there. A fellow says, I don't hold for the Erev, I'm chosh for the Rambam. So it could be the guy doesn't even know what he means when he says chosh for the Rambam, but that's what he should be meaning. When he says that I don't carry an Erev, I'm chosh for the Rambam, this is the Rambam. We just read the two Rambams, the Rambam of Chosukah, the Rambam of Erevin. The Rambam has some other theory in Chos Erevin that somehow the combinations of Pirates the Ten Amos with parts of the Omazes are not rectifiable by Tzuras HaPesachs. You have to build mamish walls, which 99% of the time is completely not practical. So this sheet, this Rambam now behooves us not only to understand and lumdus us, now it's impacting, it's throwing into question all of our Erevin. We have to see what it means, what it's based on, and whether we accept it, or why, perhaps why we don't accept it. So that's going to be really the bulk of our sugya. But the bulk of the sugya is going to start with the Mishnah Erevin, because that's where the whole problem for the Rambam begins. If you take a look at the 8th of the Rambam Kamos, so the Mishnah that poses the greatest challenge to the Rambam is Mavu Shigavol Amalam Yasum Am Yamait. If you have a Mavu that's more than 20 amas, then the Korah, the beam across the top, is more than 20 amas, you have to lower it. Rabbi Yudah Omei Notoch. Rabbi says you don't have to. V'arachah b'yaser amas, if it's wider than 10 amas, you might, then you have to close it up, because if the opening of the alleyway, the opening of the mavui to the street, is more than 10 amas, that's a disaster, that's a pirtza, and that disqualifies everything. But the Mishnah says, v'yesh to tzuras HaPesach, if it has to tzuras HaPesach, everything's great. Av'bishirachah b'yaser amas, ain't toch l'mait. If it's more than 10 amos wide, but it has a Tzusa Pesach on it, everything is great. So that line seems to contradict the Rambam. So the Rambam was well aware of that first Mishnah in Masechet Ervin, as well as the other 105 lot in the Masechta. The Rambam had in front of his eyes very, very clearly. But the Rambam also learned the Sugya Daf Yud Aleph in Masechet Ervin, which is the ninth of the Rambam Kamos, where the Gemara itself throws a question at the Mishnah. The Gemara itself throws a monkey wrench into the Mishnah, and the Gemara itself begins to question just how valid is the Tzusa Pesach under all of these complicated circumstances. Hopefully with Shem next week we have to learn not just the Mishnah Dabeis, hopefully we have to learn the Sugya Daf Yud Aleph and then put those two together and see where the Rambam got to, where he came from. Again, whoever was carrying last week could still carry this week. You should just be aware of the fact that according to the Rambam, the Erev is no good. But again, I didn't say we pass like that Rambam, but this is going to, everything we're going to talk about, all our Erev are going to hinge upon the Sheet of this Rambam. With Shem next week.